Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
Die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
Abba, we have no other God, we serve no other God. Our eyes are fixed on you, our trust is in you, our faith is in your word, our hope is in you, Lord. We give you praise and we give thanks to your holy name. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, speak to us. One word from you is all it takes. I pray today that you grant such grace to make your word simple, quickening the understanding of every man, such that you're a child, even a child, can grasp it. Unveil the mysteries in very simple ways. Speak to every man and woman in the language we understand. Let there be such rootedness of conviction. Let there be such transformation from the inside to the outside that will cause changes, that will cause the ripple effects to move just beyond us, beyond our families, but changing lives all over the world. All over the world. Through the word that you give to us today. In the third service, your word came forth and said that from today onwards, in this season, there will be rain of answers. Now, equip us through this word with the structure, the spiritual structure and capacity to receive and make the most of the answers you are releasing. To you be all the glory. Sakataya. We give you praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. And let the church of our living Christ say big amen. Amen. Please, church, give the Lord a very big clap offering of praise. Make it big, make it big, make it big. Come on, bless the Lord today. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your seat in God's presence. Get to know the person sitting by your side, to the left and to the right. Make sure there'll be no stranger by your side at all. Get to know their names and let them get to know your names. Please balance my sound. There is too much. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. In the third service, we teamed this service, hey God, can we talk? And I trusted the Lord, and I'm still trusting in this service for this message to be precise, direct. So pay attention to what God is saying. In the first service, we looked at the secret of receiving answers from God. How many of you want to pray and always receive answers from God? That's what we dealt with. The secret of receiving answers from God. And we said it's having the conviction that God hears us when we pray and He answers. That unwavering, unshakable, deep-rooted conviction that God hears us when we pray, that He hears and that He answers. And we saw that in Christ, all the promises of God are what? Yes. Talk to me, church. Are what? Yes. Are what?
Yes.
Yes. All the promises of God are yes. Now, we're going to deal with another side of it. Knowing that God hears us. That's the secret of receiving answers from God. This service, we are going to look at another side of it. I want you to write this down. The secret of receiving divine instructions and divine direction. You know, we've talked about receiving answers, but I want to give you a key that once you master this key, Kai, the trajectory of your life will always be upward and forward. Always. You will always win. You always have success. You will always enjoy grace. That thing we call answered prayers is not all just the change of state of things, the change of circumstances, not just it. Most times, God's answers comes through instructions and directions. Most times. You pray about something, you're trusting that the circumstance will change. For example, a certain man in the scripture called Naaman was a mighty man, an officer, and a high-rated officer with the king of Syria. But he was leprous. He was a leper. Had leprosy. And now he journeys to Israel to meet the prophet of God, Elisha. I want you to listen carefully. To meet the prophet of God, Elisha, he heard that the God of Israel, through that prophet, can intervene in his case. He came with different gifts and even a letter from the king, telling the king of Israel that this prophet should attend to this man. You know. And that's how the prophet sat in his house when he heard about the man. And said, tell him. He didn't come out. To go and wash himself in Jordan. And dip himself how many times? How many times? Did he say 6 times? Did he say 8 times? The Lord, I had an encounter with God late last year, and He was talking to me about the 7th miracle. So He called me the 7th hour miracle, the 7th day miracle, the 7th time miracle. He said, and I understood what he was saying after that encounter, or within that encounter, because seven means perfection. He said, you've got to understand that there are miracles that happen by specific instructions, and when the demands of faith for those instructions are met, and only do they happen. He said, if Naaman had dipped six times, it won't happen. If he had dipped eight times, it won't happen. The instruction says what? Seven times. Instruction. At first, Naaman was very angry. I thought the man of God would come out, lay hands on me, wave his hands, pray powerful prayer, I'll get healed. You know, he wanted it one way. But the answer to his inquest, the answer to his journey, what he was seeking for, came only as an instruction. Go and dip. Will you be made whole? There is nobody to put me in the water, in the pool, when the angel comes. When I'm trying to get there, somebody else gets there first. And the mercy of the Lord just shows forth. Look at the answer to his healing. A man that has been paralyzed for 38 years. 38 years. Waiting for his turn. The instruction is, pick your mat and walk. It's an instruction. Pick your mat and walk. That's it. Fill the water pots with water. Nothing has happened. Take it and go and give to the master of ceremony. But you see, Mary had already instructed those servants in that wedding in Cana. He instructed them. He said, whatever he tells you, do it. There is a miracle attached to specific instructions. Many times, people are waiting for change of circumstances, and they don't even see their answers in specific instructions that God is giving. Wave your hands if you're here. Come on, say, I hear. Shout it, say, I hear. So write this down. The secret of receiving divine instructions and divine directions from God, which is one key way of receiving your answers, is having the conviction that we hear God clearly. You see, in the third service, it's about God hearing you. In this fourth service, it's about you hearing God. Having the conviction that we hear God clearly is one thing to pray and know that God hears me, and I believe God hears me. It's another thing in that prayer to have a conviction that God speaks to me and I can hear him clearly. That's another thing altogether. So, hey, God, can we talk? That's a different kind of prayer. You have a whole lot of the burdens of your heart. You want to unburden. You really want to talk to God. It's a prayer of intimacy. It's not noisy prayer. There is a time for that. There is a time your spirit is so stirred and you can't contain it. And you know, the Holy Spirit moves you that way. But there is a prayer of intimacy. A communion where as you talk to God, you hear him talk to you. Is a two-way communication. But the kind of prayer that a lot of Christians are accustomed and used to is to just talk. And it's more like they are making incantations and they are invoking things and invoking. And then they just, when they finish, they move and something mystical now starts happening. And by the time they come back, hey, everything has changed. That's the concept of prayer for a lot of believers. And that's why prayer wearies a lot of believers. They pray that way, pray that way, pray that way. Imagine that someone walks up, you know, then we have the reality that God lives in us. Come and say, the Lord is with me forever. Say forever. Say he lives in me, abides in me, and with me. Say forever. Say he never leaves or forsakes me. Wave your hands if you're in church. Are you sure you're in church? Okay. So watch this, because this is very important. I want you to imagine someone is talking to God. Just imagine that God is standing before the person. He's talking to God. Father Lord, my financial state. Oh Lord, my ministry. Oh Lord, my health. Oh Lord, my spouse. Oh Lord, my children. Oh Lord, my father's family, my mother's family. Oh Lord, the visions of life that you've called me to. My purpose. I just don't want to go through life just walking to meet needs. I want to matter. I want to make impact. I want to be a blessing. Oh Lord, my city. Oh Lord, my nation. Oh Lord, the nations of the world. And you're praying that way. Whatever it is, your prayer is. And praying and praying. And let me just use the one that is always the issue for a whole lot of people in this part of the world. My finances. And Lord, my finances. Lord, my career, my this. And then when it's through talking to God, and imagine God saying, oh my son, so I've heard you. Now this is what I want you to do. As it's just finished, calm down, my son. When he finished and it's now time, God said, my son, I now want to, in Jesus' name, amen. That is what we call waiting on God. Waiting. Everybody say it with me. Waiting on God. Come on, shout it louder. Say, waiting on God. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. First. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch. So the Bible says, watch and what? Pray. Be sober. It's a prayer that is sober. God, I want to talk to you. A sober kind of prayer. Intimate prayer. I'll stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, the rooftop. It means a place of isolation. Imagine that the Bible says that Jesus will wake up while it is yet dark, the early hours of the morning, and be alone, set himself apart to be alone. Different times you will see it in the scripture, and especially whenever he finishes having a massive crusade, finish meeting people's needs, everybody's excited, finish having healing meetings, and people they brought were healed. At different times, those times where everybody's excited, rejoicing, everybody's healed, the Bible says he will tell his disciples, go, and he will take himself alone apart. He will go to the mountains. Aloneness.
is intimate. It's not noisy prayer. There's going to come a time where there is a dimension of the move of the Spirit. You can't contain it. You can be overwhelmed with glory, with fire, that you start shouting. But it never starts with a shout. And it never ends with a shout. It's intimacy. I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch to see what is my focus. What he will say. I'm waiting for direction. I'm waiting on him for instructions. I'm waiting for revelations. What are you going to say? So the object of the prayer is to hear him. Not to send him on an errand. To hear him. To receive instructions and to receive direction. I want to hear. I want to watch to see what he will say. And what I should answer when I'm reproved. When I'm reproved, what should I answer? And see the result of this kind of prayer. It's meditational prayer. Intimate prayer. Fervency. Pouring out your heart. Look at verse 2. See the result. Everybody read and read out loud. One, two, go. What's that? Direction and what? Instructions. Write it. Write it. So in that kind of prayer, you have your tablets of witness. Like Moses, who was called up to the glory, where he had to receive instructions and laws for the nation of Israel. You're like that, and you have your tablets of witness. You don't come out of that encounter without writing out what you're hearing from God very clearly. Revelation shown you very clearly. He said, that's what's going to give you speed. That's those instructions and directions. That's what's going to open the doors for you. That's what's going to bring the miracles you're desiring. The instructions. Verse 3, fast please. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I hear the Lord say, I should prophesy. I lift my hands and declare, from today, the instructions, revelations, and directions you will receive on that altar of aloneness with God, in the name of Jesus, will not tarry. It will always manifest in due time. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the answers that God has to the questions of your heart, the answers that God has to the requests and the petitions, the innermost petitions and the supplications of your heart, shall never again tarry in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Sit down. I would like us to look at Psalms chapter 119 verse 4 and 5. Psalms 119 verse 4 and 5. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently.
Verse 5. Everybody join me and join me. Very loudly. Want to go? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep you. How many of you want your life to be the unfolding of the will of God for your life? How many of you want to walk in the perfect will of God? It only happens through divine instructions and what? Direction. Christians who know this secret, that my ways be directed, they come out of their morning devotions with directions for the day. They come out of PEP retreat, that 3 days of fast and prayer every month, with direction for the month. They always come out, they have direction. They enjoy divine direction. They enjoy divine direction. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 9 says that many are the plans of the heart of a man. The plans of the heart of the man, it belongs to man. But it's the Lord who directs the steps. We have our own plans, but God has to direct us for you to see His will manifest in your life. A man's heart will plan his way. A man's heart will plan his way. But it's the Lord that directs. That's what comes from that place of intimate prayer. Intimate communion. Where you have conversations with God. You know He hears you. But you're also positioned to hear what He will say to you. So, I know God hears me, but do I hear God? That's the second part of it. He hears me and I hear Him. He hears me and I hear Him. How did the scripture characterize the sons of God in spirit? In Romans chapter 8 verse 14. He said, these are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God. You see, you start enjoying the blessings of the inheritance of sons when you master following the leading of the Holy Spirit. You start enjoying the blessings of the glorious inheritance of sons when you master following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hand. Said, I'm led of the Holy Spirit. Come on, say, I do not lean on my own understanding. My trust is in the Lord. And I'm led of the Holy Spirit. If you're led of the Holy Spirit, shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. I'm not going to talk too much about hearing God today. But can a man hear God's voice very clearly? Yes. Are there people who hear God's voice very clearly? And can you know that it is God's voice that you're hearing? Can it be distinguished from the voice of your own mind or the voice of another spirit? Because there are seducing spirits. Give me 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. Can a man hear God's voice? Yes, you can. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Some will. That means they were already there, so they will depart. There are people who were there. They were in the faith. For somebody to depart from the faith, it means he was once what?
in the faith. And what will make them depart from the faith? Everybody read. I want you to read that so loud. You hear it well. Why? Giving. Want to go? I'm not hearing you. Louder. Again. Giving heed to deceiving what? Spirits. And doctrines of demons. That word deceiving there is, in the Greek, it's seducing spirit. So, you see, when you get into the realms of the spirit, there are many voices. There are what the scripture also calls strange voices. The voice of a stranger. The voice of a stranger. And what many people don't know is that a segment of demons that are sent to mark themselves as God. They appear to be God. They are religious demons. Have you seen some people that are having mental health issues? They are having mental health problems. And what triggers it, and whenever they start doing, is Bible they are quoting. Is different things. Those are religious demons. The angel of darkness can mask itself as an angel of light, as an angel of light. And so that it sounds like God doesn't mean it's God. That somebody uses it from the Bible doesn't mean it's God. Do you know that people use Psalms to invoke demons? He said, I got it from the Bible doesn't mean it's God. There are four major ways you know the voice of God. Should I tell you? Are you sure? Okay, I will tell you, but I won't teach it because of time. But I'm going to help you lay that foundation. Four major ways the voice of God is known. The first is his nature. It's about nature. The voice of God is known by nature. And the only way you know his nature is if you have the same nature. You can't know the sign of a fish unless you're a fish. When you see ants and they move, in order they move, they have leaders. They have different people. They may not have a single leader that is leading them, but other ants understand their communication because the same nature is in them. Number two is his word, by knowing his word as revealed in the scriptures. Not as written, but as revealed in the scriptures. By knowing the word of God. And the word of God is not letter, so it's spirit. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So there is the letter of the scriptures and there is the spirit of the scriptures. Knowing the spirit of the scriptures as revealed in God's word. That's how you know God. God's voice can never contradict the revelations of the scriptures. Never. So how many of you know that God is love? God can never say anything that contradicts love and is contrary to love, nature. How many of you know that God is righteous? Huh? God can never say anything that will strengthen unrighteousness. Never. Never. Whenever you see anything saying, my son, my daughter, and is strengthening unrighteousness, is not God. Number three, his character. the character of God. The character of God. God is faithful. God does not break covenant. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance and they are irrevocable. So when you hear a word and the person is saying, is prophesying, and he say, my daughter, my son, the anointing of the Lord shall depart from you. Now lie. It's not from God. Somebody told me, he said, he made one mistake. This young man had been under a yoke. And this thing had made him physically sick. And mentally he was losing his mind. Seriously. They brought the case to me and he was telling me how he went to a church. That's where it began. And in that day, the Lord told him to do something. And he didn't do it in that church that day. He said from that day, God now told him that that's it. He's lost everything. By the time I was through with him, he found out it was the devil who spoke. We dealt with the devil and all those chains fell off him. He instantly, he left my office whole and healed. A bondage he has been under for years. He gave heed to seducing spirits, deceiving demons that sound religious. You committed abortion, my daughter? No. No. God speaks repentance and restoration. He doesn't speak condemnation. Kai. 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 And somebody is under a yoke, a heavy burden, thinking my life will never turn out right again. Things will never work out the way it should be. And yet the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Spirit said, there is therefore now no condemnation. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had delivered us, had made us free from the law of sin and of death. The last but not the least is by knowing the fruits of the voice of God. Or you can also call it the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, the scripture says, that will be filled with the fruits of righteousness. The voice of God has fruits. So if a tree looks alike, and you're not sure whether it is this or that, if you can't dig up the root, wait for the fruit. By their fruits, you will know them. When God speaks, faith arises. When fear arises, it's not God. God doesn't bear the fruits of fear. God's voice bears the fruit of faith. So therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, so you see, I can take you through this. You heard something, you had a dream, and you woke up afraid. That dream is from the devil. If you had a dream, and you woke up praying in tongues, full of faith, ready to take steps, that dream is from God. Every good and perfect gift is from above. From the Father of lights, in whom there is no what? Variableness, neither any shadow of turning. Don't let anyone deceive you. You see how the psalmist prays him, for the Lord is good. That's it. And his mercies endures forever. Whatever gift that is not good is not from God. The voice of God bears certain fruits. I'll close with these scriptures John chapter 10. I want you to go and meditate on the whole chapter of John chapter 10. Because of time, I will read just certain scriptures. Every new creation in Christ is born with the nature and the ability to hear God's voice and know God's voice. Even before you start getting trained in the language of God. You know, God has a language. And it's not human vocabulary. And he's not speaking in tongues. God has a language he speaks with. It's called light. That's the language of God. Light. I'll get to it later. Just let me come out from it. Because that's another subject. Before it is said that the fetus in the womb of a woman can hear the voice of the mother and knows the voice of the mother. Do you know you can be here and children will be playing outside and you hear the cry of your baby? Immediately you stand up. And there may be 20 children playing, but another baby is crying. You won't stand up. You know the voice. You see your children, see your pictures, that you don't believe they can recognize this picture. Well, they will just call you Dada. Mommy, that's mommy. A little child. How? There is a nature connection. Say with me, deep calls unto deep. John chapter 10 from verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Keep moving. I'm reading to. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by his name and leads them out. Verse 4. Join me in verse 4 and read out loud. Want to go? And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know. Verse 5, and read out loud. Want to go? Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. That's who we are. I heard someone who made a mistake. I don't know where the person is now, because with intercessions and we pray for people, we always believe for the intervention of God. But that's what happened some time ago. And the person was quite in a wrong place and obviously gave heed to the wrong things and departed from sound doctrine. And you know, when your believing is right, your behavior is right. When your believing is wrong, your behavior grows wrong. And so he was acting wrongly. And then one day I was talking with the person, I love to the end. And I watch over the sheep God gives me. Anybody that runs is him that keeps running. But I don't give up on people. That's how God works with me. Except some sons of perdition that the Holy Spirit tells me to remove my hand totally. And he literally breaks my hand to remove it, because of the love I have for them in my heart. And so this particular person calls me and was like, Pastor, it's one thing I don't like. Okay, well, the thing is that, okay, if somebody now left, people are no longer talking to the person. I said, no, that's wrong. I don't think that's why people are not talking to you. So I started calling different people that were no longer in church for different reasons. And even a few of them that had to be because of, maybe they were offended or so they were not happy. You know, there are people that even if you don't offend them, they will create one and offend themselves. That's what gives them blood. They complain about everything. There must be something. Everything is always perfect until they join it. Once they join it, they start seeing faults. There are people like that. There must be problem. There is no way they have a life and a relationship without problem. That thing is not normal. There are people that are products of dysfunctional systems, environment. And so what is normal for them is quarrel, fight, trouble, strife. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay. So, and there are a few of them that are like that. And I started calling this person. I know this person even comes to church sometimes. We have programs. I know, I see even people in church putting up this person on their WhatsApp update, celebrating them. I say, love sons are not like that. I said, let me tell you the only people that love sons stay away from. And it's not because anybody has to speak anything about you. We don't even have to mention, we don't mention your name. We are too focused on our work. Great minds don't discuss people. They are too focused on vision. Great minds are vision driven. I said, the only reason people will avoid you is that you now have made contact with a strange spirit and your voice is strange. I said, that's why. It means there is something in your heart that is no longer right. You have something that repels the sheep. And once they commune with you, they just notice there is something different. You know, there are some people you finish communing with, your prayer life goes down. There are some people that you finish talking with, your commitment to serving the Lord goes down. There are some people you finish communing with, the things you were not seeing in your pastors before, you were not seeing it in your church before, you start seeing faults. Are you understanding me? They commune with you and they notice the corruption of their spirit. I said, what it means is that you have made contact with a strange spirit and now your voice is the voice of a stranger. I said, and every true sheep will never hear your voice. Once they hear the voice of a stranger, they won't follow it. They will start avoiding you because they need to protect the purity of their faith. They need to protect the sanctity of their commitment. They need to protect their heart. The Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence. I said, that's why they are avoiding you. I said, your voice now corrupts. It doesn't build up. It doesn't edify. It corrupts. That's what the problem is. So I close with this. And I want everybody to hear me. Everyone who is part of the flock of Christ, you're a new creation in Christ. You're created with the nature. And you have the ability. And then you have an enabler, the Holy Spirit, to hear the voice of God clearly. To start hearing God clearly, you have to believe that it's in your nature to hear God. Before you start learning, teach me three things to hear. That's who I am. I am a son of God. I belong to the flock of Christ. I hear his voice and the voice of a stranger I do not follow. I hear God clearly. I kept confessing that and kept saying that until it became my experience. But it first of all has to become a conviction and a confession before it becomes an experience. God bless you. How many of you received that? Did you receive that? Stand on your feet. Lift your hands everywhere. I'm praying the Spirit. Please, it might just be a minute, but I want you to do it with all your heart. Praying the Spirit.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.